Praise the Lord. Dear friends, in our meditation on the person of Jesus as presented in the Gospels, we have seen that he was baptized at the beginning of his public ministry. He was baptized by John the Baptizer in the River Jordan. And as he came out of the water, the heavens opened above him. The Holy Spirit descended upon him in the form of a dove, and the voice of the Father rang out from the open heaven, telling him, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." This was the topic of our meditation in our last episode. This event of baptism was considered as the anointing of Jesus. His prophetic mission was to start by an anointing with the Spirit. Later on, Jesus would say, starting at Nazareth, his prophetic ministry, he would say, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. And he has sent me to proclaim the good news to the poor." So the baptism and the coming of the Spirit was considered as the prophetic anointing of Jesus by which his public ministry was to begin. But the Gospels, the Synoptic Gospels, tell us that Jesus did not immediately go out into the world preaching the good news. Before he started preaching the good news, there is another event taking place in his life. We call it the temptation, or in other words, Jesus' victory in the wilderness. Jesus' victory over Satan, the power of evil. That's going to be the topic of our meditation today. The temptation and victory of Jesus in the wilderness over Satan. This event is reported by all the three Synoptic Gospels, though in a different way. Mark is the shortest and simplest, whereas Matthew and Luke follow another tradition, bringing in three various episodes or describing three events or episodes of temptation. Let us first read the account of Mark. Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Very brief narration indeed. The same narration is taken up by Matthew and Luke and expanded, describing three various episodes of temptation. But all the three Gospels tell us that Jesus, before entering upon the public ministry, was tested or tempted in the desert by Satan. So this is the beginning of the ministry. Was it the only way, only time Jesus was tempted or tested? Or is it something different? When we look into the Gospel of John, we don't see a similar event. John does not speak about a temptation of Jesus or a test of Jesus right at the beginning of his ministry. But during the ministry, Jesus was various times tempted, tested, questioned. And the report of John is somehow similar to what we see in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke. The three different episodes, focusing on first the bread, second a miracle or a sign, and third on authority or power, worldly power. So these three tests are taken up in the Gospel of John in a very historical context. And that we see in the chapter 6, the sixth chapter of John, immediately after the multiplication of bread. So the whole chapter deals with the bread of life, bread from heaven, the bread that gives life, that the bread is Jesus himself. Anyhow, this narration starts with the multiplication of bread. After the multiplication of bread, the next day the people came looking for Jesus. And then Jesus tells them in John chapter 6, verse 26. They asked, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Because you are filled with bread. So you are coming to me not for because you have faith, not because you have seen signs and believe that I am the Son of God, but you need bread." So it's the question of bread. Finally, they themselves come to say in verse 34, they said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." They were asking for the bread. The problem or the theme of bread. The theme of bread is related with the theme of sign. Again in John, the same chapter we read in verse 30. So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." An exceptional sign. They were asking for a sign. As later on in the Synoptic Gospels we read, the Satan was asking for a sign, jumping down from the pinnacle of the temple. A sign. An exceptional sign. The third is related to authority, worldly power and empire. That is much more clearly stated in the Gospel of John. In chapter 6, verse 15, when the people saw that Jesus had performed such a miraculous event in the desert, giving them bread, they said in chapter 6, verse 14, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." The following words, when Jesus realized that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. Here is a great temptation for Jesus. The whole crowd is so much taken up by this miracle that they believe that this is the person they were waiting for. This is the messianic prophet or the messiah king, and they want to make him king. This, in fact, is what the Satan was promising at the beginning. So, in the Gospel of John, you see the historical situation in which the temptations were directed at Jesus. The synoptics also speak about such events. For example, in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, verse 11, the Pharisees came and began to argue with him, asking him for a sign from heaven to test him. It's not Satan directly, it is the Pharisees who test or tempt, asking for a sign from heaven. The Pharisees tempt him. Sometimes it is the disciples themselves, the first disciple, the leader of the disciples. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, verse 22 and 23, "And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, 'God forbid it, Lord, this must never happen to you.'" Peter tells Jesus not to go to Jerusalem so that he may not be crucified. Jesus had told them that the Son of Man will be handed over into the hands of the leaders and they will put him to death. So the death and resurrection was foretold, and Peter, out of goodwill and love for his master, says, "You shall not go, this shall not happen to you." But what does Jesus say in verse 23? "But he turned and said to Peter, 'Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things.'" So Peter has become the mouthpiece, the spokesperson of Satan. Satan had been speaking through Peter in the form of a friend. Peter, an innocent person, Peter who was so much in love with his master, who did not want anything evil to happen to the master, wanted to keep him away from suffering and death, but Jesus saw this again as a temptation. Get behind me, Satan. Satan was speaking through Peter. The same thing happens, for example, at the end of his public ministry. Jesus himself feels in the throes of a great temptation, in the garden, in the agony in the garden. Mark 14:35. And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass him. The hour of suffering, the hour of crucifixion and death, the hour of total rejection, that might pass him. So that is again a temptation. He realized it. But he said, Abba, Father, for you are all things possible. Remove this cup from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want. So the great temptation was there, but Jesus resisted and defeated the tempter and temptation. On the cross, Jesus hanging on the cross was again challenged and tempted to come down. In verse 27, in chapter 27 of Matthew, verses 40 and 41. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." The same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes and the elders, were mocking and saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel, let him come down from the cross now, and we will believe in him." So this is a challenge. This challenge is again taken as a temptation. So in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, verse 28, we read that the temptation was not just one event, a unique event in the life of Jesus, but it was somehow characterizing the entire life of Jesus, especially his public ministry. In Luke 22:28, we read, "You are those who have stood by me in my trials," or in my temptations, in my tribulations. So the life of Jesus was full of temptations, and all these temptations were taken together and presented at the beginning of the public ministry through some specimen. The Gospel of Matthew and Luke give us 3 examples of concrete temptations. And now, what is this temptation as such? He was tested and tempted. In fact, there is a difference between the two, the test and temptation. Test is always something positive. It could be very positive, it can go negative, but as a whole, test has a positive connotation. You are being tested to know your caliber. The students are tested in the classes. At the end of the year, they have to take a test. A person who is learning to drive has to take a driver's test to show to the community, to those in authority, that he can drive. The teachers and the authority test the students to see how much they have studied. So this is a test. And the word here used, Mark, Matthew, and Luke used peirazein or peirasmos. The word peirazein and peirasmos, in the first instance, is translated as test. For example, God tested people. God tested Abraham. The chapter 22 of the book of Genesis starts saying, God tested Abraham. And the test was a very severe one. Take your son, your only son whom you love, and give him as a burnt offering on the mountain, I'll show you. The only beloved son of Abraham had to be offered as a burnt offering, a holocaust to God. So this was a severe test. It was not a temptation, it was a test. God was testing his faith and fidelity, the faith, the strength of it, the faith of Abraham was severely tested, and Abraham won. He did as God wanted. So his faith was strengthened and his faith was manifested. So a test as such can be a positive thing. But this is not what happens with Jesus. Here Jesus is not only tested, he is tempted. As in the paradise, the first parents were tempted. God had given them a test. You shall not eat of the tree in the middle of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And on the day you eat of it, you shall die. So this was a test. Will they obey or will they not? And the test turned out into a temptation when another force entered on the scene, the serpent, who came and twisted the test into a temptation, telling, you shall not die. But God knows the day you eat of it, your eyes will open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So the test was turned into a temptation by an evil force. In the same way here, what Jesus is encountering is not just a test, it is a temptation. A temptation to something very wrong. So Jesus is being tempted by the devil. So peirazein can mean either test or tempt. Temptation is always to do something evil. Temptation is something presenting something evil as good and good as evil. It's a twisting the reality and forcing the people to take the wrong decision. So this is what is happening. And that is what temptation is. Jesus was tempted by the devil. Now, Jesus was tempted by the devil and he was there 40 days and he was led into the desert by the Holy Spirit. Mark says, uses a very strong word. The Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness, driven out by the Spirit. A forcefully throwing the person into the desert. Was Jesus reluctant to go? No. This is a kind of violent style of Mark. The immediacy, the urgency, and the violence of the temptation. But all the same, it is the Spirit of God who came upon Jesus that is driving the person of Jesus into the wilderness. The Spirit who came upon Jesus resided with Jesus all the while. So Jesus is not alone. He is empowered by the Spirit. It is the Spirit that guides Jesus in the desert throughout the temptation. Second, the wilderness. Wilderness or desert has a thematic meaning in the Bible as a whole. And especially the 40 days in the wilderness somehow makes us think of various episodes, various events in the history of Israel. First of all, we remember the wanderings of the people of Israel from Sinai to the Promised Land, or from Egypt, the land of slavery, to Canaan, the land of liberty. So these 40 years of wandering in the desert was a time, first, of God's protection, second, as a time of test, where their faith and fidelity, their allegiance to God, was put to severe test, and several times they failed. So Jesus is reliving this life of Israel, the people of Israel, in the desert. As the people were in the desert 40 years, tested and tempted, so Jesus is now spending 40 days in the desert, tested, tempted. Another important event that comes to my mind is that of Moses. Moses spent 40 days in preparation for receiving the covenant, the tablets of the covenant on Sinai. He did not eat, he did not drink. Again, after breaking the tablets of the covenant, Moses goes up on the mountain, again 40 days and 40 nights. He spent fasting 40 days with God. Another event, Elijah the prophet was wandering through the desert, fleeing from the Queen Jezebel, fleeing for his life, 40 days and 40 nights in the desert. So all these images will come to mind when we think about Jesus spending 40 days in the wilderness, not eating, not drinking, all alone with God. He is there with God, preparing for his mission. Now we'll conclude with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Son as our Redeemer, as our Liberator, from the clutches of evil. We thank you, Jesus, for coming into the world and going through the desert experience of temptation, trials, and tribulations. Lord, you defeated the powers of evil in your fasting, in your prayer, through the power of the Spirit, and through your total allegiance to the Father. Enable us to recognize temptations, to resist and to overcome temptations, now and forever and ever.